Lord, I thank you for your service tonight, God. I lift up all the people in this room tonight, Father. I thank you for your house, God. I thank you for all the lives that are here tonight, Father. I thank you, Lord God, that you're going to move mightily, God, that you already did things already in this service, God, and you're going to do more, Father. So tonight, God, I thank you. And I give you the glory, honor, and praise that we get the privilege to come to your house and lift your name up, God, and teach your word. So, Father, we don't think of ourselves as better than anybody else, God, but we are just co-laborers in Christ, God, trying to build the kingdom of God. So tonight, God, I ask that the kingdom of God be built all over the Inland Empire and all over the world, God. Bless them and say, may you bless us. In Jesus' name, we all said? Amen. Psalms 145, verse 18. If you have your Bibles, go there with me. If not, we'll go ahead and throw it up here right behind me. But here's what it says. The Lord is close. Say close. Close. Come on, say close. Close. The Lord is close to all those who call. Say call. Close. On him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. Tonight I want to preach to you from a subject that is dear to my life. Because recently I had an encounter with God, and I'll share about it in a moment. But I want to preach from a subject called encounter in God's presence. How many know that we need the presence of God in this place? Raise your hand. But how many know that we can get so used to things in life and be so distracted with things in life that we miss the presence of God? Raise your hand. Or we get caught up in life and get caught up in the busyness and get caught up in things that just pull us away from the house of God or pull us away from even the presence of God. And yet we find ourselves not in his presence anymore, but we find ourselves in our own presence. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so I believe this. I believe God is in a season of pulling people back into the presence of God. There was a season in my life where I went through a dry season. I called the wilderness. And in the wilderness, it's not fun. Anybody been to the wilderness before, you know what I'm talking about. And there was a season of my life many years ago where I went through the wilderness and I wasn't feeling the presence of God the way I wanted to feel the presence of God. I was in a place where I was a Christian and I was a believer. I was actually a youth pastor at another church, but I just wasn't feeling the presence of God that I wanted to feel. And I was in a place in my life where I wasn't hearing God the way I wanted to hear God. Anybody ever been there before? Wave at me. So I'm not alone up here, right? I was in a place where I would pray, and my prayers, I felt like they were slingshot prayers, man, just not being answered, and sometimes not being even heard at times. And I was in a place where I was reading the Bible, and I got the Bible, and I got the Word, but I wasn't getting into the presence. I was able to preach the Word of God, because here's what I believe. I believe God wanted the Word to go out anyway, and I believe God used me to preach the Word of God and get out there to the teenagers. But here's what I missed. Is I missed being in the presence of God. And as I was going through this dry season, in this season of life, I fell on my knees and I cried out to God. And I said, God, I need your presence. And it was one night that I was on my knees in tears. And I said, God, you've called me. I'm your servant. I've done what you've asked. I've been obedient. I've followed you. I need your presence. And God dropped one thing into my heart out of the book of James. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Now, my response to that was, God, I am drawing near to you. I'm drawing near to you all the time. I'm in your presence. He goes, no. Listen, I said, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. That means draw near to me when you don't even feel me. When you don't even feel my presence, don't give up and don't stop. Keep drawing near to me. And it was that one day as I was drawing near to God, and I was in just deep prayer, and I walked out of the prayer feeling like, did I pray? Anybody ever felt like that before? Like I just walked out of it like, okay, God, what's going on? And the minute I walked out, I felt the presence of God again. And the presence of God hit me, and it took me into a state of mind. And it reminded me of Moses and how he had to go up to the mountaintop. And it reminded me of Elijah and how he was afraid. And all of a sudden, he thought he was going to hear God's voice. And he thought it was in thunder. He thought it was in earthquake. He thought it was in the fire. But yet, it was a quiet whisper that God speaks to him. In the presence of God, God wants to speak to you. You can't always expect this huge turnout to be what you think it should be. God knows what he needs to do, and God knows what you need, and God will give you what you need at the right time. And I believe this, going into the presence of God will take you to those places. So tonight, I want to minister to you about, for the next few moments, about encountering The presence of God. I love what A.W. Tozer says. He says, the presence of God is the one thing we can never do without. For it is in presence that all things are made new. Jerry Bridges, author of a great book. He says this, our awareness of God's presence should be the greatest reality of our life. In the Word of God, Jesus often speaks about the presence of God. And there's major highlights that he speaks about. One, he talks about the intimacy and the transformative power in the presence of God. So tonight, I want to give you three things that I believe if we could really get a hold of this church, and I know when I give you these three things, you are already going to say, I already do this. Listen, let's look at this in a different way. There are things that we need to go back to certain things and look at it a different way. And so I'm just going to give you a disclaimer right up front, right at the top, right at the beginning. This might be a message you're like, oh, I've already heard it, but here, let's do something. Let's say I haven't heard it, and I'm going to hear it in a new way. Because if you want to encounter God's presence, you're not going to encounter his presence the same way every time. Come on. There are many different times that you can encounter his presence. I've been at youth camp, and I've seen the presence of God move. I've been at church services here, and I've seen the presence of God move. I've been in youth service and seen the presence of God move. I've been at other conferences and seen the presence of God move. I've been in my room and seen the presence of God move. I've been in my car and seen the presence of God move. But here's what I know, if I encounter it different every time. And so when we look at these scriptures and look at the word tonight, I want you to think of it as a different way. And then I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I really doing these things? Because I'm going to be very upfront and very honest with you. Is that okay? There are things in the Bible that rub us the wrong way. There are things that we should be doing as Christians that we're not doing, that we should be doing. And if we're not doing it, we need to start doing it. And so tonight, here's what I want to talk about. The first point is this, if you're taking notes. To encounter God's presence, we must, number one, pray. Pastor, that is so basic. That is like church 101, Christianity 101. I know we're supposed to pray. Yes, it is basic, right? It is very basic. But are we really doing it? Are we really setting time apart to really pray? Are we really coming into a place of our life and saying, you know what? I'm not going to just make church on Sunday and Wednesday. I'm not going to make church just when I come to the building. But instead, I'm going to spend time with God wherever I'm at. I'm going to continue to pray. Prayer will bring you into the presence of God. Prayer will bring you into a place in your life to be in a deep presence of God. I love what Jeremiah says in 29:12. It says it like this. Then you will call upon me and I go and pray to me. Wait a minute. Let's read this again. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to who? Me. And I will listen to you. This verse is a promise to the Israelites who were in exile, who were trying to get out of exile. He says, call upon me and I will listen to you. Listen, when we call upon God, he listens to us. Now, let me say something real quick. It might not be what you want to hear right now, right then. It might not be your prayer being answered right that second. It might not be, well, Pastor, I prayed and 5 minutes ago, nothing happened. It might be, I waited a year and still nothing happened. I waited 3 years and still nothing happened. But here's the thing, God's word doesn't return void. And if God says to pray and he hears us and we listen, here's what's going to happen. As you continue to pray and have a prayer life, the presence of God is going to grow in your life. And as the presence of God grows in your life, your prayer life is going to go deeper and God will answer your prayers. But we got to take time to get into the presence and take time to pray. Now again, I'm not saying no one is doing this in this church. I believe we're a big church of prayer, and I know a lot of people do pray, but here's the thing, these are things that we got to remind ourselves of. We have to remind ourselves how important it is to pray. Listen, prayer is a communication line between you and God. I was thinking about the other day, I have a wife and I've been married 22 years. And here's the thing, if I didn't talk to my wife, our marriage wouldn't be that great. Come on, somebody who's married. If you communicate and talk to your wife, guess what? You begin to have a communication back and forth to each other. You're conversing with each other. You have an understanding with each other. And all of a sudden, your marriage becomes great. Same thing when you're walking in a relationship with God. The more you converse with him in prayer, the more you converse back and forth and have communication, guess what? His presence is going to grow in your life. And as his presence grows in your life, guess what's going to happen? Your situations are going to change. You may even see things that you've never seen in your life before because God's going to show up with the power and the presence of God in your life. You might be sick in here in the presence of God, and God heal you completely. You came to the altar tonight because the power of God was here and the presence of God was here. And you came up to the altar with all these different things in your life and you went back to your seat emptied of those things because God moved. His presence is powerful. And we should desire and earn to be in the presence of God in our life. You know, just the other day I just got done having a good gym session. Can you tell? And as I was in the gym session, I was hitting all my PRs, and I was getting to the weights I wanted to, and not where I used to be, but I was just saw myself building and developing, and I was getting to that place, and I was really excited, and I felt really good, and then I got in the sauna for like 20 minutes, and I sweat like crazy, and I got really just drenched with sweat, and then I thought to myself, okay, I'm about to go home. My wife made me lunch. She told me there was lunch. I was excited. I'm hungry after I work out. I'm going to go home, but as soon as I walked out of the gym, the Lord spoke to me, and he said this, I want to spend time with you. Really, God? Right now, right this second, all the times that I want to spend time with you, do you want it right now? He goes, yes, I want it right now. And I thought to myself, okay, I'll spend time with you, God, of course. Let me just go home. No, 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 you're not going to go home. I want you to get in your car, and I want you to drive to this lookout in Redlands. I don't know what a lookout is. I've never been to this lookout in Redlands. I've heard people talk about it, so I just Googled lookout in Redlands, and this thing came up, and I was like, okay, that looks cool. And as I started to drive, I was talking to the Lord, and I was saying to the Lord, okay, God, you want me to go here. You must be wanting to show me something. He didn't say nothing. I get on the freeway. I'm driving. I said, okay, God, you called me to do this. I'm expecting something like, big, Lord, like, what are you going to speak to me? He just says, just keep driving. Okay. Driving up the street, going over the Wabash, going up, I don't know even where I was, but going up all these different hills. I'm like, oh, these are really nice houses up here. Just driving around, circling, and all of a sudden I get to this place, and I see this beautiful lookout. God said, park your car. Park my car, I get out. I walk over to the side right here. As I'm looking over the valley, I'm looking over, I thought God was going to speak something powerful. I thought God was going to be like, here's what you're going to do. You're going to do this, you're going to do that, and I'm going to bless this, and I'm going to move in your life. No, no, no. God said, thank you for being obedient. Now you can leave. Really, God? As I'm driving home, he says, to be in my presence, obedience must be a part of it. Church, to be in his presence, obedience has to be a part of it. Here's why. God ain't going to tell you to do something that's convenient to you all the time. I was ready to go home. I was ready to go home, talk to my wife, spend time with her. It was my day off. I was ready to eat some lunch, maybe go on a walk, just talk and play with the grandkids. I was ready to just have a good old time. But God said, no, 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 I want to speak to you. And I thought, okay, God, let's do this. And he says, thank you for being obedient. But what I learned from that was this. I want you to think about this for a moment. Because maybe God spoke to you about something like this. Getting out of your comfort zone to get into the presence of God. And a lot of times we stay in our comfort zone, and so we miss the presence of God. But when we get out of our comfort zone, we get into the presence of God. So church, I want to challenge you with something. I want to challenge you with this. To get out of your comfort zone so you can experience the presence of God in your life. His presence is everywhere. His presence is with you. He wants you to experience it. And it might not be the most comfortable thing for you to do in order to see his presence or get to his presence, but here's the thing. If you be obedient and you'll do what God tells you, his presence will show up. There was a season in my life where there was a group of pastors, and we used to get up every morning, and when a church had a building, it was the mansion in Redlands, and we used to get up at 4 a.m. and go pray every morning. And I used to think to myself, why am I doing this? I'm the youngest, and God, this is crazy. It's cold, and there are all these other guys are like in ministry. They're pastoring. They're doing all this, and I'm just like the little Timothy running around like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just here to pray because I thought it was a cool thing to do. But yet every time we showed up to the place, God moved. And here's what I realized. I woke up at 4 a.m, got picked up by the pastor and a friend, and we end up going up there. I sacrificed a sleep to get into the presence of God. When you sacrifice something in your life, it doesn't always feel great. It doesn't always feel like the best thing. But here's what I can tell you. When you sacrifice something for God, God will show up and his presence will show up in your life. Come on, church, if you believe that. David Young, Dr. David Young Cho says it like this. The more you pray, I love this. The more you pray, the more you become aware of God's presence in your life. The more you what? Come on, church, the more you what? So here's what I want to ask you. If you want to enter, if you want to hit God's presence and you want to tap into the encountering presence of God, what do you got to do? Pray. And the more you pray, the more you're going to see God's presence in your life. I've watched many people for many years in church, and I watch how the presence of God is in their life. But here's what I notice about them. They pray a lot. A lot. And when I mean they pray, they pray. They spend time in prayer. Here's why. They're caught up in the presence of God, and the presence of God feels so good, and the power of God is being spoken into their life. They don't want to leave the presence. When you get into the presence of God, you don't want to leave it. You want to continue to stay in the presence. It's kind of tough because I know we have church services and the presence of God is moving and the altars are full. And I can imagine what it feels like for Pastor Dan. Like, I know he's got to get up and he's got to preach a word because it's a great word. But he's also like, I want to let the presence of God move. So, you know, what do I do? Let the presence move. And there's a time and place for the presence of God to move. And sometimes it just moves. And you just go with it. And what I love about it is, like, you could go with it or you could stop it. But why stop the presence? The presence is too good, too thick. And God is moving through the presence of God, and people's lives are being touched and people's lives are being changed. But here's what happens. Those presences come because there's a church of people praying and inviting the presence of God into the house. To encounter God's presence, here's the next one. This one's deep. You ready? Get ready. Write it down. It's super deep. I promise. Here it is. Spend time in his word. Pastor, what? That's not deep. No, but it's not. But here's what I want to tell you. When you spend time in his word, you go deep. Listen, there's not one time, man, that I can't open this Bible, literally get into the word of God, open the Bible, get into the word of God, but not feel his presence. I don't know about you, but there's such an importance of opening up the word of God and reading through the word of God. And all of a sudden, when you read it, you find yourself in tears, and the presence of God shows up right there as you open up the book. Listen, it's a book that's full of life. It's a book that's powerful. It's a book that's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a book that'll change your life. If you open it up and read it and you would get into the presence of God, you would feel the change in your life. Matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says it like this. For the word, say word. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes the innermost thoughts and desires. Church, family of God, listen. The scriptures of God speak to us. The scriptures of God, the word of God speaks to us. It leads us, it guides us, it comforts us. Matter of fact, it brings in and ushers in the presence of God into your life. If you don't believe me, try it. Go home tonight and open up the word of God. Say, that guy, Pastor Donnie, said if I open up the word of God, the presence of God was going to show up. Listen, open up the word of God, read the word of God, and watch God's presence show up. It's life-changing. He'll show up. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says this, the word of God is not a thing of the past, but it's a living word which continues to speak to us today. Look at your neighbor and say, God's word. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, God's word speaks to you today. Look at your other neighbor and say, you better start reading God's word. Look behind you and shout to the person behind you and say, God's word will change your life. Come on, church, do we believe that today? Can we get into God's word? I heard a story of a guy named Michael. No, it's not Michael Jordan. It was like, Jordan, no. But a guy named Michael always had struggles, feeling distance from God. Now, as I read this story, I want you to ask yourself, have I ever felt like this before? Write this down. Have I ever felt like this before? Because I want you to really ask yourself this question, because I believe this. As you ask yourself and hear the story, you might have been this Michael that I'm talking about. You might have felt like this before. It says Michael has always struggled with feeling distant from God. He grew up in a Christian home, but as an adult, he became caught up in the busyness of life. Between work, social obligations, and the pressures of everyday life, he felt disconnected from his faith. Anybody ever felt like that before? He would occasionally attend church, but often left feeling like something was missing. His prayers seemed to go unanswered, and he couldn't feel the presence of God in his life. One evening after a tough day, Michael found himself lying on the couch, feeling defeated, and he had tried everything he knew to solve the problem, yet nothing seemed to bring peace. His mind kept racing, and he felt heavy weights on his chest, almost as he couldn't even breathe. Suddenly, he remembered something his grandmother had once told him. How many loved your grandmothers? They always got words of wisdom. They always got things that you just never forget. Whenever you feel lost, open up the Bible. It's where you will find God's voice and his presence. Michael had never really taken her words seriously, but now in his brokenness, he felt desperate for change. He grabbed the dusty Bible off his shelf, sat down in his living room, and opened it up reading Psalms 139, verse 7 through 10. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your hand will hold me fast. As Michael read these words, a deep realization began to stir up inside of him. God's presence was not something distant or far off, he said. It was everywhere, already near him, even in his struggles. He wasn't alone. Church, I want you to realize something. This word of God reminds him and reminds us that God's presence was always there and is always there, no matter where he was or how you are or how you felt. His presence is always there. Maybe tonight you are feeling this way. Maybe tonight you are feeling broken. Maybe tonight you are feeling challenged. Maybe tonight you are feeling anxious. Maybe tonight you are in a place in your life and you haven't been in the presence of God for a long time, just like Michael felt. Maybe you're laying on the couch and you can't get up off the couch. You're in anxiety. You have all this depression. You have all this stress on you. And maybe tonight that's you, and you're saying to yourself, if Michael could be reminded of the presence of God, then I want to be reminded of the presence of God. Here's what we need to do. Open up the Word, get into the Bible, and get into his presence. Psalms 119, verse 105 says it just like this. Your Word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. The Word of God brings the presence of God. Write this down. The Word of God brings the presence of God. We need to make it a habit of spending time in God's Word. Let me say it again. Let me read it again. I'm not sure if it's on there, but I'll read it again. The Word of God brings the presence of God. We need to make a habit of spending time in God's Word so we can encounter his presence. Tonight, I want to experience God's presence. Tonight, I want to know the presence of God. Tonight, I want to have an encounter with the presence of God. Tonight, I want to be in his presence. I want to live in his presence. I want to dwell in his presence. But I also know there are some things that I have to position myself to get into the presence of God. And one is I have to position myself to pray so I can get more into the presence of God. Another one is I have to read my word and open up my Bible and get into the word of God so that I can get into the presence of God. And the last one that I have for you tonight is this. To encounter God's presence, we know number three is this. Live a life of worship. Now listen, worship is more than just Sunday and Wednesdays. That's great, and it's great that we can come in here and we have a powerful worship team. We have great songs sing. We get into in worship and God shows up and the presence of God moves. But there's so much more to worship than just that. There's a thing called lifestyle, and lifestyle is a thing that you live out the life of worship. You don't just worship when you come to church. You don't just worship when you come on a Wednesday or a Sunday. You worship all the time. Here's how. You mean I got to sing songs all the time? Listen, if you want to sing songs all the time, you can. But what I'm saying is this. Your lifestyle shows the worship in you. And living a lifestyle of worship invites the presence of God into your life. Because going back to what I talked about earlier, when you walk in the obedience of God, his presence shows up. And living a lifestyle of worship takes obedience of God. I don't feel like worshiping. I don't feel like lifting my hands. Okay, don't. Can I be honest with you? If you don't, don't. But don't cry when you miss out. Come into a place of worship. Pastor, I don't feel like living a lifestyle of worship. Why not? You want to live a different lifestyle? You don't want to live a lifestyle of being in God's presence? You want to live something different? Listen, church, listen, I don't want to be hard. I want to correct you, but here's the thing. In order to see God's presence and see him move, we got to step into living a lifestyle of worship. Let's be real. Not just on Sundays and Wednesday. Oh, bless you, brother. So good to see you. You look so great today. And you walk out of church, flip somebody off as you drive out. I remember a long time ago, when I drove my car, I used to listen to the rap music. I had Tupac pumping all the time. This was not recently, Pastor, and I promise. But he was like, what is this guy doing? But it was a long time ago. And I remember, like, I was driving the other day because I was getting ready, you know, asking God what you wanted to preach on and a lifestyle of worship. And God said, you used to listen to this stuff. But now you've changed, and now your life has changed, and your life is now a lifestyle of worship. And because you're a lifestyle of worship, you find yourself worshiping and lifting my name up in your car. It's a lifestyle change. Live your life loud for Christ. Don't live it quiet. Are you a Christian? On Sunday. Do you go to church? Sometimes. When you know you're in a second or third row every week. Live your life for Christ. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I love what Paul says. Paul was addressing the believers in Rome. He was urging them to offer their bodies as a living sacrifice to God as a worship, an act of worship. And in Romans 12, chapter 1, it says it like this in a New Living Translation. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Living your life for Christ is a way to truly worship him. Are you going to be perfect? No, only Jesus was perfect. Are you going to have opportunities to mess up? Yes. Are you going to fall short of his glory? Yes, like Romans 3:23 says. But here's the thing. Don't stay there. Here's the thing. Get up, brush yourself off, ask God to forgive you. Don't stay in guilt and shame, and move forward with God. And continue to live a life of lifestyle of worship. If you're not living your life of worship in a style of worship, what are you doing? I gotta ask, I gotta be real. If I'm not living a lifestyle of worship, what am I living my lifestyle like? Think about this. Think about this for a moment. Listen to this. Listen. Your worship is everything to God. You've sacrificed. He sacrificed. You come to the altar. You make the move. You even get into the presence. You get on your knees. You lift his name up. You fall into the presence of God. So you living a lifestyle of worship, I got to be honest with you, you living that lifestyle is huge. Big. Not a lifestyle just when you're in church and around Christian people. No pretending, no being fake. Come on, somebody. But it's a lifestyle of being real. It's a lifestyle of, okay, God, I'm going to be real. You know why? He's real to you. He's not fake to you. He's real to you. And so if he's real to you, we need to have a lifestyle of realness to him. And then we can connect with him. And here's the thing. As we connect to him and the realness of him, we experience and we encounter the presence of God. And not only the presence of God, but the deep, filling presence of God. But are we ready to make that change in our life and say, I want to walk into that lifestyle of worship? Not easy. It's hard. Come on, somebody. Would you agree with me? If it's hard, wave at me. Come on, Christians. It's hard, right? Everyone's like, yeah, Pastor, it's so hard. But it's the best thing that we can do is remind ourselves of that. I love what Francis Chan says about this. Francis Chan says this, true worship is not a feeling, It's a lifestyle. It's offering everything to God, your time, oh, this is good, your time, your resources, your relationship, your hopes, and your dreams. In other words, this true worship is living a lifestyle that God called you to live, no matter what your dreams were, no matter what your hopes were, no matter what your resources are, no matter how much money you have. Instead, it's saying, here it is, God, you take it, because I worship you, and I want you to have all of it, God, because I'm coming into a place of living in a lifestyle of worship. Oh, but I want to hold on to this dream. Okay, hold on to it, but will you fulfill it? Because God won't. Or will you say, God, here's my dreams. Here's my desires. Here's my hopes. And here they are, God. I lay them out to you, and I give them to you because I want to live a lifestyle of worship. Come on, church. You want to live a lifestyle of worship tonight? Let me hear you praise God tonight. John chapter 4, verse 23 through 24 says it like this. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers, say worshipers, will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship, say worship him that way. For God is the Spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's kind of like this. An unhealthy tree does not bear fruit, but a healthy tree looks like this one behind me. It bears fruit. It has fruit on it. It has life on it. It bears fruit. Here's the thing. A life rooted in worship reflects God's glory in your life. And here's the next thing. It naturally radiates his presence everywhere you go in your life. How do we get there? We live a lifestyle of worship. We don't live our own lifestyle. We now say, okay, God, here it is. I want to exchange my wants, my desires, my dreams for yours, for what you have for me, because I love you that much, God, and I worship you that much that I lay my life down, and here it is. Ooh, come on, church. Watch what God can do with your life when you come to a place of submission like that to the Lord. Watch what God can do, man. You think right now your life is good. I guarantee if you lay a submission to the Lord and you offer everything up to him, watch what God will do. He will do things that will blow your mind. He will provide things that will blow your mind. I was talking to a brother today, and it just blew my mind. He was explaining a situation to me and explaining a challenge to me. And he said, Pastor, here's what I did. I prayed, and I said, God, if you want me to do this, God, then you're going to have to help me financially and show me. I kid you not. This brother looked at me, and I thought he was going to say, and God didn't. He looked at me and said, all of a sudden, I looked at my bank account. And God put money in my account. And he goes, Pastor, I'm not talking hundreds. I'm talking thousands. Someone made a sacrifice of worship in his lifestyle. Here's what he said. I got a job offer. This is a true story. Happened a few hours ago. I got a job offer. Money was more than something I've ever made in my life. My wife and I were both on board. But as I was praying, I didn't get the release from God. And because I didn't get that release from God, I didn't fully take that job. But then not even a few days later, or time later, God puts all this money in my bank account and shows up. Here's what I believe. I believe because he was obedient to what God asked him to do, and he didn't allow those dollars amount to change his thinking and take him out of the presence of God and take him out of the obedience that he's lived in a long time and put him in disobedience. Instead, he said, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to do what God says, even though I'm losing this job offer and this job opportunity, but I'm going to trust God enough, and God provided for his life. That's an example of someone living a lifestyle of worship. That's an example of someone coming to a place and saying, you know what? It's not my will, God, but it's your will be done in my life. And if this new job is going to take me away from church, it's going to take me away from my family, it's going to take me away from serving the ministry, then here's the thing, God, I don't want to be taken away from your presence. Instead, I want to go after your presence, I want to be in your presence, I'm going to be obedient to your presence, and I'm going to do what you asked me to do. Now, please don't run out of here tonight and be like, if that can happen for somebody, I'm going to believe that thousands of dollars are going to be in my bank account. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say this, that the presence of God showed up because he walked in obedience, but God might show up differently in your life. I ain't never had thousands of dollars put in my account. I don't know about you guys. Anybody else had that? No, but God's done other things in my life that's been good for my life and for my situation and my position. Here's the thing. A life of prayer, and I'm going to close with this tonight. And I'm going to show you something tonight. And I want you to get this. But a life of prayer, spending time in His Word, and living a life of worship will bring you into the presence of God. What happens, Pastor, when I encounter the presence? Let me show you something real quick. Everybody see my backpack? Yeah, you see it now? This is weights that I carry. This is weights that you're carrying. Maybe I got anxiety. Maybe I got depression. Maybe I got bills I can't pay. Maybe my marriage is falling apart. Maybe my kids have gone wayward. I've been praying for my kids. They haven't come back. Maybe I'm just in a struggle. I'm in a fight. I can't figure out things. I can't get a job. Nothing's happening for me. I'm in this place and I'm in a state of mind. Things aren't going the way I thought they should go. I am in church. I'm serving God. I'm doing the best that I can do. Yeah, I slip up. Yeah, I mess up. Is this an everyday Christian? Come on, somebody. I'm in this place. But yeah, here's what happens. When I walk into the presence of God, I get on my knees. I'm in His presence. And I want you to see something. I want you to notice something. Because some of you in this room are carrying what I said tonight. Some of you in this room are experiencing some of the things that I talked about tonight. And I know this because God showed me. And I have to be honest with you. I got to be real with you. These are the times where it's time to allow the presence of God in your life. So here you are in this place. You're carrying this weight. Can I ask a question? Can you guys be honest tonight? Can we be honest in church tonight? Is it okay? Is anybody carrying a weight tonight they don't want to carry? Raise your hand. Come on, anybody? Here's the thing. Get into His presence. And when you get into the presence of God, all that weight that I was carrying is now what? Lifted. And the presence of God takes away the weight out of your life. But here's what you don't want to do. Don't get comfortable carrying the weight and go back to it. Because we do that. Can I call some of us out tonight? Can I be real? We do that. Let's be honest. I was comfortable carrying this thing in my life. I grabbed a hold of it. I'm comfortable with this thing because that's all I know. Can I challenge us with something tonight? Can I challenge everybody in this room with something tonight? Get into the presence of God. Let the weights get lifted off. And walk away from those things that you left behind and move forward and do the things that God has called you to do and what God has asked you to do. Why? He wants to take you into His presence. Come on, church. If you believe that tonight, I want you to make noise and tell Jesus tonight, I want to be in the presence. I want to be in His presence. If I could get Chris on the keys real quick, I just want to do something real fast. It's not planned. It's not on the agenda. But here's what I want to do tonight, is I want to invite you up again. If you're in this place tonight and you're saying, you know what, Pastor, I got weights on me, and I need to get these weights lifted tonight. I don't want to be in this place anymore. I have a hard time preaching about the presence of God without inviting you into the presence of God. So if you're in this room tonight and you're saying to yourself, I want to have an encounter with God's presence, can you just come forward right now as the keys are playing? Just come out of your seat, come forward. That's you tonight. I want to challenge you tonight just to come forward. Right to the front. Just come forward. And just kneel right here in the front. No one's going to talk to you. No one's going to bother you. Just going to take a few moments and get into God's presence. That's you tonight. Just come forward. Just come forward. And as the keys are playing, just be in His presence. Ask God, give me your presence, God. Allow me to walk into the presence, God. God, I want to feel your presence tonight, God. Maybe you've been so far away from His presence. Maybe you're like me, the story that I shared that was real, felt so far away. But God's drawing you back into His presence. If that's you tonight, just come forward. Just come forward. Let's get into His presence tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Come forward. Come into his presence tonight. Just lift your hands to the side. Say, Jesus, here I am. Maybe you're uncomfortable. Maybe you've never done this. But just stepping out in obedience. Say, Jesus, here I am. I want to be in your presence. You don't have to be. It doesn't take hours for you to be in his presence. You can do it in seconds. It happened to me within seconds. Same in your life. It can happen. They're still coming. Just come forward if that's you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. The presence of God is in this place tonight. Just stay right where you're at. You're fine. I want to shift this a little bit, and I want to do something different. Because I want to make sure that everyone in this room is okay with Jesus Christ in this place tonight. Here's what I know. If I don't have a relationship with Jesus, and I'm not walking with Jesus, here's what I know. I won't make it to heaven. And I'll end up in a place called hell. Pastor, I'm a good person. I'm glad you're a good person. And continue to be a good person. But being good does not get you into heaven. Pastor, I was born and raised in church. Great. I was born and raised in church as well, but there was a time in my life that, even though I was born and raised in church, there was a time in my life that if I would have died, I would not have made it to heaven. I would have been in hell. So being raised in church doesn't get you into heaven. You might be saying to yourself, well, Pastor, I'm a good person, good. I've never stolen, I never robbed anybody. I've never done anything really wrong in my life, Pastor. I'm just me, Pastor. But being just you is not enough when he laid his life down for you and I. And so tonight, you can get up out of this place and walk out of these doors tonight. And I don't pray this, wish this, or want this to happen to anybody, but life happens and things happen in life. You can walk out of this room tonight and get in a bad car accident and your life be taken within seconds. And you can stand before him tonight and he can say either one of two things to you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome to the kingdom of heaven. Or he could say, depart from me, I never knew who you were. And here's the thing. Those who don't have a relationship with Jesus, those who've never given their heart and their life to Jesus, will be in the category and stand in the place of, depart from me, I never knew who you were. But those who are in the place of God and have a relationship with him will stand before him and he'll say these words, well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome to the kingdom of heaven. So here's my question to you tonight is this. You've come into church, had great worship, had a move of God, heard the word of God being preached, talking about getting into the presence of God and having an encounter with God's presence, allowing God to move. But my question to you is this. If you walked out of these doors tonight and you got in a car accident, or if you left this place and ended up in a hospital and never came out. We saw that several years ago. We saw people go in the hospital. We never got to see come out, which hurt a lot of us, including myself. I had an uncle that went in and never came out, didn't get to see him. My question to you is this. Will you go to heaven or will you go to hell? I want you to ask yourself that question. Because this is an important question. This is for everybody in this auditorium tonight. And I want you to really examine your life. Because I'm going to show you, there's two pictures you could look at tonight. Let me frame this for you. Frame number one is this. You come to church, you hear a great message, you hear great worship, you have an encounter with God. I heard pastors say to you, if you walk out of this building tonight and you died, it was your last breath on earth, would you go to heaven or hell? And you're saying to yourself, I'm not sure where I would go. And you leave, and you get in a car accident. Or, let me frame another picture for you. You come into church tonight. Hear the word of God. God speaks to you. God moves. And all of a sudden, you ask yourself this question. The pastor says, am I going to go to heaven or hell? You said, I don't know. But tonight I want to make sure that I'm going to go to heaven. You walk out of the room. Life is taken. You stand before Jesus, and he says these words. Do you remember that loudmouth preacher tonight that was preaching? You're like, oh yeah, I remember him. Do you remember when he said, you could receive me or deny me? I said, yes. He said, because you receive me, I receive you. And he says these words to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome to the kingdom of heaven forever. So here's how this is going to work. Tonight I'm going to do this. I'm going to count to three. I'm just going to go one, two, three. Bang, just like that. When you hear my hands go bang like that, all I want you to do in this room is raise your hand all over this place and say, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. I want to make sure that I've walked out. And if my life was done, my last breath tonight, that I would end up in heaven and I wouldn't end up in hell for eternity. I want to make sure that I come into that place. Well, Pastor, I don't want to raise my hand. If I raise my hand, I might be embarrassed. Listen, here's the thing. You might be embarrassed. But can we look at the flip, the trade-off of this? I could raise my hand and make it to heaven, or I can not raise my hand and end up in hell because I was afraid or embarrassed to raise my hand. Well, why do I got to raise my hand? The Bible says this, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. What is confession? A pop of a hand. But if you deny me, then I'll deny you. What is denying? I don't need no Jesus. What, you got a private date and a time when you're going to go? He met with you and told you no. The word says no one knows the hour or the day. So who should do this tonight? Never giving your life from your heart to Jesus Christ. Who else should do this tonight? If you're not sure where you're going to go, heaven or hell. And who else should do this tonight if you're a lukewarm Christian? What is that? A little in, a little out. Never fully gave your heart to Jesus. You're in and out. Token prayer here and there. Church here and there. Never sold out for Jesus. Here's why the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, speaking to the seven churches, it says, when I come back, I better find you hot or cold, because if I find you lukewarm, I will vomit you from my mouth. In other words, you won't make it. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to count to three. If you're in this place tonight, and that's you, when I count to three, all I want you to do is raise your hand right where you're at. If you've been running from God and said it to God, tonight's your night. You've never given your heart and your life to Jesus, tonight is your night. And if you're not sure where you end up, tonight is your night. On three. One, two, three. Bang, anybody in this room? Hands up. That's you. Go ahead and put them up. Pull the lights up so I can see. Okay, let me start. Go ahead. Is that you? If that's you in the front, just pop them up so I can see them. One, two, three, four, five, six. Seven, eight, help me out, ushers, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, any more, 13, I think I got you guys, 14 in the far back, 14 wise people, oh, I got you way over here in the corner, 15, is there any more, just pop your hand up all over this room where you're at, if that's you tonight, 15 wise people, is there any more in this place tonight, just pop your hand up, you're pointing somewhere, Ralph, where you're pointing, 15, 16, 17, I got you, oh, 18, I got you. Is there any more? Back here and far back, 19. Got you. Is there any more? Take a moment, pop your hand up all over this place. You're pointing somewhere. I got these guys. I got you. Okay, let's do this. Everybody put your hands down for a moment. If there's any more, everybody put your hands down for a moment. If there's any more, pop your hand up so I can see it. I want to make sure we get you tonight. Is there any more? Pop your hand up. Any more? Any more? Okay, here's what we're going to do is this. All 19 of you, and if there's any more in this room tonight, we're going to say a prayer, and we're going to invite Jesus into our heart, into our life. And then after we say this prayer, here's what I want to do is this. Because I got my friend over here, Pastor Joel. He's right over here. He's waving at you. What I want to do is this, is after service, so after the complete service is over, Pastor Joel will be right over here. All 19 of you that said you want to give your heart and your life to Jesus, I want you to go see Pastor Joel and his team. Here's why. We have a program here called SPT, Spiritual Personal Trainer. They come alongside of you and they teach you basic things out of the Word of God. Because tomorrow when you get up, you're going to look the same, you're going to smell the same, you're going to feel the same. And the devil's going to tell you what you did tonight wasn't real. And you need to tell the devil, shut up and go back to hell where you belong. I know what I did is real. And so we want to provide you a friend that's going to help you in your walk with Jesus. Is that okay? And here's what I want to say. Get an SBT and go through SBT, but here's what I want to say. Give us 1 year of your life. 1 year at the church. 1 year. And I guarantee where you're at today will be completely different the following year. You'll do leaps and bounds. You'll grow in the Word of God. And listen, there are 8 different services you can go to. Women, there are women ministry services. Young adults, there is young adults. Youth, there are youth services. There are services on Sunday, on Saturday, all the times. Everything's in an info booth. Get to a service. But give us 1 year and you'll see your life transform. Is that okay? Can I challenge you guys with that tonight? Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to say a prayer. I'm going to say the words. You repeat them after me. Listen, if you miss a word, don't beat yourself up. It's all about your heart. Line yourself up with your heart and what God's doing. Repeat this after me. Father God, I come to you tonight, and I thank you for the opportunity that I have to give my heart and my life to you. Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me for all my sins. Cleanse me from unrighteousness. Tonight, I believe that you died and you rose again from the dead. Holy Spirit, empower me. Change my life. Fill me up in Jesus' name. We all said, amen. Come on, let's give God a praise. Pastor Teresa's going to come up. Remember, after service, come see Pastor Joel. Let's get you guys connected. If you can't get connected here, we'll connect with you at the back door.
Wonderful word, Pastor Donnie. Thank you so much for reminding us of the most important basic things, being in the presence of God. Yeah, man. It's our honor and our privilege as children of God to get to hang out with him and build that relationship and have conversation. So let's not get distracted and let's keep that main thing the main thing this week. Hey, we're going to take a moment now and give everyone an opportunity to sow, to give into the kingdom of God, to give to the work of the ministry that God is doing through our local church right here at The Rock. You saw today a couple of altar calls, lives changed, people touched, stronghold broken. God is reaching, touching people, touching the world through the work that we do right here. And coming up this week, we've got an amazing opportunity where we are going to be hosting missionaries and pastors, over 600 of them. These are people who have influence all over the world, who are taking the gospel, ministering the goodness of God, that salvation message you just heard, the freedom of God, and it is our opportunity to host them. And that's part of what we use our finances for. We reach out to a lot of different avenues all over the world. I have the privilege of being on the missions committee here, so I get to hear the wonderful things that God does as we sow seed throughout the earth. And now everybody, the world is gathering together in this house. And I share that with you because I've got a testimony from the last gathering we had, pastor's gathering that we had, just a testimony of what God did in a pastor's life. And I want to share it to you as an encouragement. As I'm sharing, I also want to give you an opportunity to go ahead and get your offering, your tithe, tithe, what you want to sow into the work of the ministry to get that ready tonight, there's a screen up behind me. It tells you how you can do that. You can do that electronically. If you have a physical gift, we've got some ushers who are standing to their feet right now. You can just wave your hand like this, and they will give you an envelope. What do I mean by physical gifts? Cash, right? Or you got a credit card and you want to write your information, they'll hand that to you. Or you can just prepare that electronically. Let me share this testimony with you, and then I'll bless the offering and we'll go ahead and receive that. It says, the pastor's gathering had fellowship and a current of the move of the Holy Spirit. It was a glorious event which filled our lives with encouragement and new strength. It was a great opportunity to meet other pastors and be encouraged with messages I needed to hear, because ministry can be hard. Pastor Dan said he had fasted and prayed for a God moment for all of us. I experienced a very special God moment and a download of overwhelming love and presence of God during one of the worship songs. The glory of God was imparted in a very special way and refreshed my soul. That's what we're believing for next week, that our pastors and missionaries are going to have that touch of the presence of God that we heard tonight and be refreshed. So let's go ahead and pray over your offerings tonight. Father, I thank you for the people of God. I thank you, Lord God, that they walk in obedience, Father, just as Pastor Donnie taught us tonight, that the presence of God requires obedience. And Father, we want to be obedient in our finances. So tonight, with great joy in our hearts, Lord God, we give, Father, out of what you've given to us. Father, we sow back our 10%, and then we give offerings over and above so that you might bless it and you might meet the needs, Father, locally and around the world. Thank you, God, that our small part get added together to make a great impact on the nations, that these pastors are going to be blessed. Multiply the gifts tonight, Father God, both in the givers' lives, Father, as they sow. I thank you that you take care of their needs and that you take care of the needs of your house. We love you and we're honored to be in ministry with you, God. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen. Hey, we've got a few video announcements. Pay attention to the screen, and then Pastor Donnie will be right back.
Would you stand to your feet and give the Lord a praise as John comes to bring us the Word of God?
The steps of a good man and a good woman are ordered of God. He sees the end from the beginning. He's not bound to time. He knows your life. He knows the plans that he's made for us, right?
Invite someone to join us Saturday and Sunday morning, February 22nd and 23rd, for guest speaker Reverend John Bevere.
We have some big news.
That's right. Our Rock Church sports program is back, and we want you to be a part of the game.
We're rolling out our 5K through 6th grade basketball program, plus our Tiny Tots T-ball program for our 3 and 4-year-olds.
Aww.
Some of you are probably wondering, what about the older kids? Don't worry. We have plans to grow and expand that program as well. But that's where we need you. This is just the beginning.
So for now, if your child is a T-ball sensation, a slam dunk superstar, or if you're a coach extraordinaire, or maybe you're just here for the snacks, we want you to be a part of our program.
So parents, don't drop the ball. Sign up your kids today, or sign up yourselves to coach and volunteer. Spread the word and do your part. We can't wait to make this an unforgettable season.
So scan the QR code, visit us out the tent, or go to the command center and register today.
We'll see you on the field.
Or on the court.
Gotta love our children's pastors. Come on, let's give it up for our children's pastors.
Join us for the Rock Christian School Preview Days on February 18th and 19th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Or come to our open house on March 24th from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. Tour our beautiful campus, meet the staff, and look into a day in the life of future Lions. Learn, grow, and thrive in a godly environment.
I Okay, now we're good. Here's what I want to do. It's all those people that gave their life to Jesus, and all 19 of you, here's what we want to do as a church is we want to celebrate you. So can you stand to your feet and come on forward over here to Pastor Joel and his team? Come on, if that's you tonight, come on, I want to celebrate you tonight as a church. Come on, guys, if that was you tonight, you were serious about this. We love it. We celebrate you guys tonight. More importantly, Jesus celebrates you even more. So if that was you, come on forward. Come on, they're still coming. Let's give them a few moments. Come on, church. Let's give it up for them tonight. Come on, if that was you tonight, come on. Families are coming. They're coming. Let's go. Come on tonight. Awesome. God is good. Awesome. All right. Man, look what God did. Isn't God a good God? Isn't his presence amazing? Can I pronounce a blessing over you guys tonight? Father, I thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Lord, I pray for every single person, God, that's in this room tonight, God. Lord, I pray this, God. I pray a hedge of protection upon them, God. I plead the blood of Jesus over them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, God. Bless them coming and bless them going. And everything, Lord, they put their hands to, let it prosper. And Lord, with a great big shout, we say that the Elite Empire shall be saved. Love you guys. Bless you guys.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs, we call them spiritual personal trainers, to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.